Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Hearing some news out of the Big Sky Conference. They were supposed to vote today on whether or not they would they want to play the season. I see no statement from the Big Sky. I reached out in the commercial break to a couple of Big Sky sources to find out what they're going to do, but the whisper is that the Big Sky Conference is going to opt out of playing football in the fall altogether. I don't have that confirmed. I reached out to Tom Wistrasil, the commissioner of the Big Sky Conference, to get confirmation of it. I'm waiting for that back, but I'll have it for you on today's show. Greg Hansen is a columnist at the Arizona Daily Star. He does a fantastic job. You got to be reading him. If you want to know what's going on in the state of Arizona, in particular with the Arizona college teams, Greg Hansen's the guy, and he's joining us now. What were you doing yesterday? Were you hiking? What were you, climbing a mountain? What were you doing?
Oh, man, Rocky Mountain National Park, 11,000 feet. It was like 65 degrees. Just pure heaven.
Man. Were there a lot of people out there? It's a place I'm assuming you could take a mask off because you're away from people.
They've limited, it's usually packed, but they've limited it to 65% this year of what it used to be, and it is still packed. Everybody goes up there just to hope they get a look at a moose.
Did you see a moose?
If you go at 7 o'clock, you see about unlimited numbers of moose and elk. It's probably 70 degrees. It's like bliss.
Love that. Greg Hansen with us, columnist, Arizona Daily Star. Greg, what'd you make of the Pac-12 players manifesto? What's your takeaway?
Well, I'm kind of glad they took a shot. I thought it was long overdue that someone would band together and try it, and maybe they're overplaying their hand a little bit. But now, I think we all heard that Larry Scott's going to talk to them tomorrow or tonight. So let's see what happens. I mean, this is the first step on what could be a long path.
John Wilner at the Mercury News yesterday outlined an idea that the conference has come up with to take out a loan available possibly in the event that football is not played. Is this a good idea? Is it a safety net? What did you make of that when you heard that news?
I was not surprised at all because, to me, it's like Oregon State and Arizona. We're both going to redo the west side of their football stadium for about $150 million each starting this summer, I believe. And wouldn't they have just put that all on debt service, basically?
Yeah.
So that $83 million, if each gets $83 million, I mean, they won't be able to do their West Side football stadium construction now for a long time, but they'll still be able to put it on debt service and continue, you know, maybe a year from now, like almost nothing took place.
Players who don't feel comfortable playing this season, what should the Pac-12 do with those players? We had one on yesterday's show, Jaden Grant at Oregon State is saying, you know, he doesn't trust the protocols right now. He thinks they're just trying to jam in the season. He doesn't feel completely safe. What should the message be from the Pac-12 to those kids?
My guess is that tonight, Larry Scott, that's what he'll hammer at the players, how safe it is and how professional the protocols are going to be. But I keep thinking back to a couple of days ago, wasn't it Oregon's Javon Holland who said, like, we're not your entertainment, and I refuse to let my body put my body at risk for your benefits, something like that. I mean, that, to me, really, hit me that these guys stick to it. There are going to have to be some opt-outs, many, many opt-outs, I think. In the next 3 weeks, that could be the biggest news yet in the Pac-12 is how many do decide to step away. And then would they have any guarantee of getting their scholarship back? Maybe that whole process would start tonight if Larry Scott's not is going to be true about it.
Yeah, and that's the big, the multi-million-dollar question, I think, too, because I look at the history of conferences and, you know, grievances by players, and a lot of times those conferences will just wait the players out. They're out of eligibility. Yeah. All right, now you're out. You're not a problem anymore for us. I feel like they asked for – I love that they organized. I'm with you on that. I love that they took a shot. I feel like they tried to take too big a bite, and for that reason, I wonder if they'll just get filibustered here.
I think except for the health protocols entering football camp, filibuster is what I'm voting for. Yep.
Arizona. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just can't see Larry Scott in 3 days' time coming up with some kind of a plan that would dissatisfy these guys, and he'll probably just tell them, hey, guys, this is our first step, and let's work together, and we'll talk later.
The schedule, when it came out, I saw Arizona and Arizona State in that opening week rivalry game, UCLA, USC playing in the opening week, and I immediately thought, oh, the Pac-12 is not very confident that they're going to play very many games. What did you think?
That struck me as well, and then I think it was a day later that ASU President Michael Crow, in a radio interview, said he expects the Arizona-ASU game to be played, more likely be played on December 12th or thereabouts. So, yeah, that seems a little risky to start that early.
Greg Hansen with us, Arizona Daily Star. Should they just push to? Should they punt to spring? Are they doing the right thing by trying to play? Do you give them a? Do you give them a high five on the effort and hey, let's see what happens, or do you do what high school sports are doing? You know, across the western part of the United States, they're starting. Everybody's pushing into the spring.
Yeah, it's funny. My brother's the athletic director at my old high school in Utah, and they started everything. They're one of the rare states. They've started two-a-days and everything. And he's kind of stunned by it all because they don't have the money to test properly, where the colleges probably do. But couldn't the Pac-12 still get its most of the media rights money if they played a spring football schedule?
Yes.
To me, isn't that the number one element?
Yeah. I think they're trying to pushing back the season was the first move. Then let's try to play this 10-game season. And Jaden Grant yesterday said that even he's being told and players are being told, hey, we might start and then have to finish in the spring, which I think would be a disaster. I think you got to try to play it all as one.
Boy, no kidding. Unless I read this wrong, didn't UCLA have 8 positive tests yesterday on their football program?
Yes.
Oh, man. And campus isn't even open yet.
Kevin Sumlin.
I don't know.
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin and Herm Edwards, the coaches at Arizona and Arizona State. How are those guys trending? I think I've been a little disappointed with Sumlin's start, and Herm Edwards is looking smart after everybody called him stupid.
It's funny how it twisted because now things are so bad at Arizona. I think they could lose every game, and they probably all know they have the least to lose of any school in the league if they don't play, because then everyone's contracts will roll over to the next fiscal year. They won't get fired this spring. I would think if I was like a inside linebackers coach at Arizona making $280,000 a year, I would probably hope the season doesn't happen. And then he gets paid for 2 more years.
Arizona State and Herm Edwards, is there a chance that you know, the model that he's laid out now becomes you know, a formula that others can follow? I mean, that pro feel, player personnel person. Everyone called him dumb. He looks pretty smart now.
Well, I keep thinking, why didn't somebody think of this earlier? because he's got a foundation in place now that if he decides to retire in a year or two, he's set to hand it off to either Marvin Lewis, Cincinnati Bengals coach, or Antonio Pierce, who's probably one of the top three or four new young assistants in the league, whose whole background is NFL and ESPN. So it looks like there's going to be longevity to that process, and they've recruited so much better than, by comparison, Arizona, that, boy, he makes everybody, including me, look really bad for thinking he wasn't going to make it.
Greg Hansen with us, columnist, Arizona Daily Star. If I could turn the focus to basketball a little bit, Arizona basketball, long been a power in the Pac-12. Where have the problems been for that program, and have they left the scandal from the investigation and the assistants, all that mess? Is that still a Sean Miller thing, or is it ongoing, or is it in the rearview mirror?
I certainly don't think it's in the rearview mirror. Too many people with knowledge, including Dick Vitale, I still think he's connected. He said recently that the NCAA is going to announce Level 1 violations against Arizona really soon. Of course, really soon in the NCAA, it's almost 3 years since the FBI started this, and the only guy punished at Arizona was Book Richardson, who was, you know, he took the fall for everybody. And it's really affected their American recruiting. I don't think they recruit at the level in the United States that they used to, because they signed six European players in the last few months, and it's changed. And you know, they haven't been a factor for 2 years now, and it doesn't look like they'll be a factor now. Arizona State has better players now, and that hasn't happened for 40 years. So it's really had an impact. They haven't renewed Sean Miller's contract. He's got 2 years left, which is almost unheard of at elite-level basketball. So I think the big shoe is yet to fall there.
Greg Hansen, Arizona Daily Star. All right, what happens with this college season? How many games are they getting in, Greg?
Football?
Football-wise.
Man, I would look so stupid if I answered that. I don't think they will. That's my guess right now. I just think, say, the second week of September, suddenly 14 guys at Arizona or Cal or somewhere test positive, and then everything changes overnight. That's my guess. Do you have any feelings like that?
I just, it's the same thing. Well, you know, the only certainty is uncertainty, right? I just am now beginning to see that. You know, I'm looking at the totality of this. The way that they laid out the schedule shows me they're not confident. Now you have players who are really grumbling with legitimate gripes about safety and what are we doing here. So I think ultimately this all along has been a contingency thing, or they moved the season back, then they went to 10 games. I think the next move is to push it to spring. The move after that would be to cancel it altogether. I originally came out and thought it was 50-50 they'd get in 10 games. Now I'm thinking it's more like 10% chance that they get in 10 games. I just can't see it happening. Somebody in the conference is going to have a major, massive outbreak that causes them to have to go, we can't play, and it's going to be multiple weeks where we can't play.
I agree with that, because just given the Miami Marlins, St. Louis Cardinals, with all their money and all their safety, it happened to them right away, and the colleges with so many more players. It just seems like without a vaccine, there's so little chance.
Greg Hansen, Arizona Daily Star, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming off the mountain to talk to us.
Thanks, John. Good luck to you.
You too. There he is from the Arizona Daily Star. Leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. I have some news on the Big Sky Conference. I'll share it with you next. I think people are getting bored. I think it's why you're, of course they're getting bored. People are getting restless. But a pair of YouTube, popular YouTubers, have been charged with a fake bank robbery prank. They face 4 years in prison. Apparently, they were filming it, pretending that they robbed a bank. They called an Uber driver and pretended that they had just robbed a bank and they were using him as a getaway car. The Uber driver refused to let them into the car. Somebody else called 911 because they saw two people in masks with, you know, bags of money trying to force their way into a car. And the police arrived and at gunpoint, forced the Uber driver out of the car. The YouTubers got away, except then they went back to their college campus at UC Irvine and attempted the same prank with another Uber driver. They got caught. The authorities are now charging the YouTubers with the fake bank robbery prank. Apparently, you can't pretend to rob somebody and get away with it. Some people saying this is a publicity stunt, obviously. It's all publicity if they're YouTubers, isn't it? Like, Alabama Adriana, you're our expert on social media and all that. Isn't that why they're doing it? Like, they want, oh, that's so funny. Look at them. They pretended to rob a bank and fooled a Uber driver.
Yeah, I don't think that they were expecting to face the repercussions, though.
Yeah, now they are. Should they go to prison? Should they get 4 years like a normal bank robber would get? I mean, I guess it's not a bank robbery. It's more like a, it's probably, I imagine this is going to be reduced to like, you know, public mischief or whatever they can charge them with. But should these people serve jail time? I'm in favor of it.
Is 4 years all you get for a bank robbery?
Like, apparently they didn't actually rob the bank. They just more or less pretended to rob the bank. Ran out of the bank into the Uber. The Uber driver freaked out, understandably so, saying, I don't want to be the getaway car. And then somebody else called 911 going, there's a bank robbery going on. So they're being charged with some kind of robbery crime without actually stealing something. I expect that to be reduced. Like, that's what I think the prosecutor does out of the gates, you know, because we want to take this seriously. But these two Yahoos, apparently, I'm not naming their names because I'm not giving them the page views. I'm not giving them the views on YouTube.
Well, it's probably like, I would assume it's like when somebody calls 911 for a fake, you know, emergency. It's probably going to be something like that. But I definitely think they should face some sort of consequence for being stupid.
What would you do to them? I think I make them delete their YouTube channel.
That maybe like a year probation, community service, something like that.
That too. Drive Uber. How about that? Put yourself in the shoes of the Uber driver. Who, I have to think, I've only been in Ubers when I'm traveling, but I have to think that there are some Uber drivers who are super like, you know, you're picking up a stranger in your own car. You've been in that situation, Alabama Adriana. You get into the car with a lot of confidence because it's Uber, or do you still have to kind of keep your guard up and kind of look at whose car you're getting into?
No, I don't want to say I never feel safe getting into an Uber or a Lyft, but there have been so many stories of it going wrong, especially for women and especially at night.
Yep.
So I'm always very hyper aware when I get into an Uber or a Lyft.
And you've been at our house hanging out with Anna or whatever, and you call an Uber or Lyft, and we always tell you, what do you do when you get home?
Call or text.
You let us know you made it.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, I'm out, you know, I'm always looking at the car, too, if they're picking you up or whatever. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, do what you can do. And if you're an Uber driver, don't call in and tell me how safe it is. I don't want to hear about it. I think people have to take their precautions. All right. This leads us to our big splash. It's the biggest thing going on today right now.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there.
The Big Splash!
Well, there was a report earlier that the Big Sky Conference had already decided that it's not going to play football. I reached out to Tom Wistersill, who is the commissioner of the Big Sky Conference. He tells me that the presidents in the Big Sky Conference are meeting today at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Judah, what time is that Pacific time? Is that 3 or 2?
That's going to be 3 for
3
us.
O'clock.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the show today, they are meeting, and they will decide what they are going to do. So no vote has been taken yet, but we'll get a vote today, 3 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock right Mountain Time. All right, leave it here. 1 o'clock hour is ahead. We are going to talk with Barrett Peary, a Big Sky basketball coach. I'll get his feeling on what's going on. Also, we got Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. We'll talk to Peter Weber of OSAA about high school sports coming up. Anna will join the show. A lot still ahead. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced
truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.